The evening service is at 7 p.m. with the season of prayer at 6:30. And God willing, I'll be here to minister in the Word. And tonight we're looking at the subject, the poetry of God. The poetry of God. So do make that effort to be here once again this evening and to invite and encourage others to come in as well and to be with us in God's house. Afterwards tonight in Auchnacloy there is a youth rally at 8:45, and Mr. Danny Roberts will be testifying tonight of what the Lord has done in his life. The Auchnacloy youth will be singing, and young people, you're invited to go over to the youth rally tonight there in Auchnacloy. This Wednesday evening is a deputation meeting on behalf of Uganda School, and the Reverend Moffat from our Bangor congregation will be along on behalf of the Mission Board to bring us up to date on the work there in Uganda and especially with the school. So if you can come along on Wednesday evening, we invite you and encourage you to come and hear of that work. And of course, do remember there will be the offering lifted at the end of the service towards the school. On Thursday evening is the next Ladies' Fellowship meeting, this Thursday night coming at 8 p.m. And Joyce Walsh will be along to speak at that ladies' meeting. Ladies, let me encourage you, do make that effort to come. It's been lovely to hear of young and old alike. All age groups are gathering together to have that fellowship one with the other. And let me encourage you again to make that effort this Thursday evening as Joyce will come. There will be the supper, as always, provided afterwards, and the time of fellowship one with the other. The Sabbath school then commences next Sunday, Sabbath school at 10:30. And then the regular times of worship, 11:30 and 7 p.m. With the seasons of prayer before both services. And God willing, I'll be here in the will of the Lord to minister at both of those meetings. Do remember there is the magazines in the front porch. If you haven't yet got your copy of the latest Vision magazine, please do take it with you as you go today. And there is the latest church accounts, which were produced and published to the congregation on Wednesday evening. If you weren't here last Wednesday, they are on the front table. And so do take your copy of the accounts as you're leaving. There's also the little invitation card from Loch Earn, the convention that's planned in the will of the Lord for the month of August. And the speakers this year, the Reverend Armstrong, who will be coming to the end of his time as moderator. The Reverend Stephen Pollock will be over from Malvern. And Dr. John Douglas will be along to minister at those meetings. There's also the latest little booklet that Chris Killen has produced. And this is the second one out of three that he is putting together. And this is teaching the truth on alcohol. And the young people got copies of these on Friday evening. And there's also one per family. They're on the table as you leave. Please do take them. They are free, so they shouldn't be too hard to shift. Unlike other books that we've had to try and move over the weeks. But these ones are free. And so let, just to start with, if you take one per family, gives everyone an opportunity, and then if there's other ones at the end that you can make use of, then please do take them and pass them on indeed to others. Can we mention to you for prayer, just to remember the missions that are commencing today. There's two missions commencing, one in Drumara for our Ballinahinch congregation, and also one in the Shankill with Colin and Noel. And so do remember those missions. I understand as well there's a mission continuing in regards to our Lisburn congregation. Pray for these times of sowing the seed, that there will be the reaping, the harvest, that precious souls will be saved, and that God will work even in our land in these days. Can we mention to the committee in session that there is the next scheduled committee in session meeting will be Tuesday the 23rd of May, and brethren, we remind you of that date. As a congregation, we do express our sympathy to our brother Gareth and to the Jones family on the passing of Gareth's father last Monday. And the burial and the funeral took place on Thursday. And as a congregation, we do remember our brother in prayer that the Lord will sustain him and be near to the family circle and to our brother Gareth in these days. Let's turn our hymn books to the psalm section. And we're commencing with the Psalm 96. The Psalm 96. You'll find it on the page 89. And we'll sing the opening 9 verses together of Psalm 96. So sing a new song to the Lord. Sing all the earth to God. To God sing and bless his name. Show still his saving health abroad. The Psalm 96, the opening 9 verses together. We'll sing, please. And let's just still ourselves in God's presence. Unite our hearts around the throne of grace in prayer. Our Father and our God in heaven, we bow before Thee. And we do acknowledge that Thou art the great God. And that Thou art greatly to be praised. We acknowledge that Thou art all-powerful. Thou art all-wise and all-knowing. We regard Thee, O God, as a God of holiness. We thank Thee that Thou art thrice holy. We think of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and all three are holy. All three are equal. And we bow before Thee and we acknowledge that Thou art the God of heaven and of earth. And beside Thee there is no one else. We bow before Thee with thankfulness and with praise in our hearts. We bow before Thee thankful that we can approach Thee. That we are not at enmity with God anymore, but rather that we have been made the children of God, adopted into the family of God. And with that spirit of adoption, we can cry unto Thee, Abba, Father. We bow in Thy presence and we thank Thee for the return of Thy day. The one day in seven to come aside to rejoice and to remember a living Saviour. One who was held by the power of death only for a time. But then up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. We thank Thee for our victorious Saviour. We thank Thee for each one that is in Christ today. We live in the realization of that victory. We live in the realization that our God is seated upon the throne. And He will remember His own. And our God is upon that throne until every enemy is made His footstool. And Father, we come rejoicing. We come to Thee with thanksgiving and with praise in our hearts. We come to Thee, O God, for Thy goodness and for Thy mercy that Thou hast been giving us day by day. And we raise our Ebenezers at the start of this week. And we thank Thee, Lord, for Thy grace, for Thy presence, for Thy help that was with us in the last week. We thank Thee, O Lord, for Thy presence that was with us in our going outs and our coming ins. We thank Thee that Thine eye was ever upon us. Thine ear was ever open unto our cry. We thank Thee in everything, O God, that we can testify that the Lord has been good and is good unto us. And He has daily loaded us with benefits. And Father, already this day we have much to praise and to thank Thee for. We thank Thee for the opportunity of being in Thy house. We thank Thee for the children and the young people that have already received instruction from Thy word. We pray that Thou wilt bless that word to every heart. We pray that Thou wilt minister, O God, and that Thou wilt work within our children, within our young people. That they will grow up as children of Thine. And that those that are not saved, that Thou wilt have mercy and bring them on to Thyself. Those that are saved, that Thou wilt ever strengthen them and deepen their roots in the Word of God and in the things of God. That even when the winds of trial and tribulation come upon them, that they will be not simply blown over, but they will be able to remain steadfast and to stand true for Thee. Lord, remember us as a church family in these days. We pray for Thy blessing to be upon each and every household, each and every individual. We remember those that mourn at this time, and we pray again for our brother Gareth and for the Jones family. That I will be very near unto them. That I will comfort and sustain, that I will give that sufficient grace each and every day. We pray for those that are not saved, that Thou wilt have mercy upon them and draw them unto Thyself. We remember those as well that are sick at this time. We pray that Thou wilt touch them, that Thou wilt raise them to strength once again, that even soon they'll be able to gather with us. We think of those that are away on holiday, Lord. We thank Thee for those that have been brought back safely. We remember others that are away, and we just pray that Thou wilt bring them back in safety and watch over each one. Lord, we thank Thee that regardless where we go, that the Lord is ever with us. That regardless what we have to face, that the Lord never leaves us nor forsakes us. And Father, we bow before Thee. And we just pray for Thy blessing and for Thy presence to be with us today. We pray for it to be a very real thing and a very real reality to each one. That each one will know that the Lord is in the house. Oh God, how often it is the case that if we grow cold at heart that we don't realize the Lord was here. that we don't realize that we're in the presence of God. Oh, Father, may we be very conscious of it today. May we be conscious that God is here and that to bless. Remember especially the going forth of thy word. We pray for power in the preaching. We pray for a word from thee. Lord, not simply a sermon, not simply the thoughts of a mere man, but, O God, that we will hear the voice of God. That we will hear the Lord speaking, that our hearts will be warmed within us while even the Lord speaks to us. O Lord, remember our congregations. Remember missions. Lord, we spread that need before thee as missions commence. As they continue, O God, we pray for the preachers of the gospel. We pray that they will be endued with that strength and that power. And we pray for souls. Oh, that thou wilt have mercy. That thou wilt save precious souls in these days. Oh, God, turn the tide in our land, we pray thee. We ask thee for the power of God and salvation to be evident. Right across our land, right across our nation. We think, oh God, in these days of all of the sin and the wickedness, the vileness, even that is on, oh God, our streets and Lord, is being purported and brought to us even by media. O God, have mercy, we pray thee. Lord, we ask thee for a rejection of sin. We ask thee, O God, for a turning away from it. We pray, Lord, for a revival to sweep through our land once again. O God, thou art able. We believe in the unchanging power of God. As thou hast sent revival and seasons of blessing in the past, O God, do it again. Lord, move, and Lord, move in our midst. O God, move in spite of us. Lord, save in spite of us. O God, have mercy upon neighbours, upon loved ones. Unite families in Christ. Do a great and a wonderful work. O God, we'll be careful to give thee all of the praise and all of the glory. Hear and answer prayer this day. Be unto us all that we need in this time together. In Jesus' name. Amen. 393 is our second hymn this morning. The hymn 393. The page is 336. I found a friend, oh such a friend. He loved me ere I knew him. He drew me with the cords of love. And thus he bound me to him. 393. Again, let's stand as we sing, please. going to read again from Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. And together we'll read the second half of this chapter this morning. Proverbs 16 and the verse 18 we pick up at this morning. The word of God says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly, than to divide the spoil with the proud. He that handleth the matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. He that laboureth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is as a burning fire. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. A violent man enticeth his neighbour, and leadeth him into the way that is not good. He shutteth his eyes to devise froward things. Moving his lips, he bringeth evil to pass. The hoary head is a crown of glory, but if it be found in the way of righteousness, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord." Amen. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this morning. As we lift our tithes and offerings, we'll sing together the hymn 303. 303. It begins in the page 298. "I found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul." Remain seated for the first part of the hymn, please.
Thank you.
minutes. Open our Bibles in Song of Solomon in chapter 5. Song of Solomon in the chapter 5. We break in this morning at the verse 9. We'll read down to the end of the chapter. Song of Solomon 5 and the verse 9. This particular verse, it is the daughters of Jerusalem that ask the question, and then it will be the bride that responds in the verse 10 down to the end of verse 16. The daughters of Jerusalem, they ask, "What is thy beloved more than another beloved? O thou fairest among women, what is thy beloved more than another beloved, that thou dost so charge us? My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings, set with the beryl. His belly is as bright ivory, overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble, set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem." Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word to our hearts. I would imagine there's no bride or wife has ever spoken of her husband in such words, because our husbands are not Christ. We want to look this morning at the beauty of Christ in these verses. The beauty of Christ. Let's just still ourselves in God's presence. Ask the Lord even to show us Christ this morning. That we will look upon our Savior. That we will see Jesus. Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee. We thank Thee for Thy precious word that is open before us. We thank Thee, Lord, for this passage that we have read together. We thank Thee for this testimony that the bride has made of her bridegroom. We thank Thee, O God, that we can see Christ in these verses. Lord, as we now settle ourselves around Thy word, we pray that Thou wilt come, that Thou wilt show us Jesus, that we will sit at His feet today, that we will look upon the One who loved us and who gave Himself for us. O Lord, hear and answer prayer now as we spend these moments together. Fill us with Thy Spirit. And Lord, uplift and glorify Thy dear Son. In His name we pray. Amen. When we left the bride in Song of Solomon chapter 5 last week, it was a very sad state of affairs that she was in. The bridegroom had withdrawn himself. Christ was no longer near unto her. She was the one who had went away and went aside into the room. She was the one who had shut the door. She was the one who had bathed herself, had taken off the outer garments, as it were, and had went to bed. He was the one, the bridegroom, who had stood at the door and knocked and knocked. He had stood so long and he had knocked for so long that the dew of the night had absolutely saturated his hair. She slept, but it was her heart that woke. It was her heart that stirred her. It was her heart that awoke the body and caused her to get up. Eventually she did get up. When she saw his hand coming through the door handle, her bowels moved within her. She had got up and she had run out into the city to find him. She went through the city. She went street by street. She came, and sadly again, she went to the wrong places and she ended up going to the wrong people. Those men that she went to smote her. They wounded her. They stole from her. And as she comes into contact with these daughters of Jerusalem, she says in the verse 8, I charge you, daughters of Jerusalem, if ye find my beloved, tell him I am sick with love. That doesn't mean she's fed up. It doesn't mean that she's quitting or she's given up. It means that she literally cannot live without her bridegroom. It means that she is so moved, she is yearning for his presence. I am sick of love. I am just so longing to be with my bridegroom. If you find him, if you see him, please tell him. I miss him so much. I want to be with him. I want to know his presence once again with me. You know, maybe I'm speaking to one today, and it is possible that even though you find yourself in church and you're saved, and even though those around you are experiencing God's presence, those around you can testify, God is with me. Yet it is possible for Christians to be so cold that they don't realize that God's not with them. That even though God's presence is in the house, even though God's presence, others can testify, the Lord is in the meeting, the Lord is in the house, we know God's presence, we hear his voice, and yet others within the same church, within the same setting, can be sitting there going, I wish I had God's presence. I miss it. I can't remember the last time I had God's presence with me. I can't remember the last time I heard his voice. It's possible for Christians to be in the house of God in that state of heart and to have that honest testimony. My friend, if that's you this morning, honestly before God, you're cold. You're missing out and you can't remember the last time that you knew God was with you. I encourage you to search with all of your heart for the Lord afresh. To seek until you find. Because when you search with all of your heart, the Lord will be found. He always is. He never completely abandons his people. The bride is making her way through the city. The daughters of Jerusalem, they stop her. They ask her that question, what is thy beloved more than another beloved? In other words, they're looking upon this bride and they're seeing that anxiousness upon her face. They're seeing that desire, that unending, unbending desire. She is searching up and down every street and she's longing, I want my bridegroom. And they're asking her, what's so special about him? Why are you saying your beloved is so special? Why are you saying to tell him that you're sick of love? Why are you saying these words? What is so special about your beloved? In other words, what's so special about Christ? What puts Christ above Muhammad? What puts Christ above Buddha? Why Christ and not Mary? After all, the Roman Catholic Church have elevated Mary. Now she's the mother. She's the Queen of Heaven. Now they've even told us that her character is sinlessly perfect. She has no sin within her. So why Christ? What is I beloved more than another beloved? There's a wonderful truth in this verse which I believe is good and right to highlight to each of us. Namely that the interest of the daughters of Jerusalem is only there because of the bride. It was Roger Ellsworth in his commentary, he's altogether lovely, He wrote this. He says, what a thrilling possibility. It is possible for God's children to so love Christ, to live in such a way that they arrest the attention and arouse the interest in the unbeliever. Now you think of that. Your love for Christ can be so strong and so warm and so real within you that it shines out of you, that you can arouse the interest in the unbeliever. Your heart can be so cast upon the Lord. You can be so warm and living in the glory and in the glow of the Lord's presence that it can arouse the unbeliever, that they can ask the question, why? What is so special about your God? What is so special about your Savior that you are so intent on being with Him, of speaking about Him, of living your whole life for Him? But he also goes on in his commentary to say, the reverse side of the coin is somber. For it is also possible for God's children to live in such a way that they never stimulate any thought of the Savior or provoke any consideration of their faith. Christians can also live in such a way that not one unsaved will ever ask a question of interest. They can live in such a cold, hard fashion, such a legalistic, dour complexion upon them that they just don't even rouse any interest within the ungodly. They can live in such a way that no one would want to be like them, that no one would want to have anything to do with Christianity. I wonder which are you today? I wonder which am I today? Do we live with Christ burning within us? That it shines and it flows out of us? That even our work colleagues, our family members, our neighbors, they just take note. That person's been with Christ, look at them. Look at how they address themselves. Look at how they conduct themselves. Look at how they walk. Look at how they move. Look at how they live. Here was a bride who was so moved and unrelenting in her desire to be with her bridegroom. It stirred the interest of the daughters of Jerusalem. For they're looking, remember, they're looking upon a bride who's hurting. They're looking upon a bride who is wounded. They're looking upon a bride whose veil has been torn off her face and off her head. No longer is she covered. No longer has she that garment upon her. It's cast off. It's taken from her. And she's wounded. They've smote her about the body and about the face. And yet she didn't go home. And she didn't give up. She carries on up and down the streets. Where is my beloved? It's night time, there's continual danger. Those men could come again, smite her again, wound her again, and yet she won't go home. And the question's asked, why? Why suffer? Why endure so much? What is so special? Why go to such lengths to be with him? And she gives her answer. What you have in these verses that follow, verse 10 down to the end of verse 16, is one of the finest descriptions of Christ anywhere in Scripture. And it's sandwiched between two wonderful statements. He is the chiefest among 10,000. And he's altogether lovely. What a Savior. What a bridegroom. What a beloved. There are two things I want to leave with you. I want you to see firstly the perfection of his beauty. The perfection of his beauty. The verse 10, it says, my beloved is white and ruddy. He is the chiefest among 10,000. You have a wonderful statement here in verse 10. He is white, but he is ruddy. The word for ruddy, it simply means he's red or he's rosy. How can you be white, also rosy? How can you be one but yet the other? Well, it's an interesting way of describing the dual personality, the dual nature of our God. Christ Jesus is God, but Christ Jesus is also man. Within the white you have the purity. Within the white you have the holiness. He is white. There is no deficiency. There is no defect in his deity. God cannot sin. God cannot lie. God cannot do anything that is wrong. It is impossible. It's not simply that he chooses to do no sin. God cannot sin. He is white. He is pure. That divinity of God, of course, is founded on his holiness. God is holy. It's not simply that God has holiness. God is holy. He is white. He is pure. And within Christ Jesus, you have the full divinity of God. You have the full deity. God in Christ and Christ in God. Christ did not set aside his godliness, his deity to come to earth. Christ is God. He never sinned. And he could not sin. Colossians 2 and 9, it says, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In his humanity he had no sin. Even though all have sinned, yet Christ as man did not sin. There's no sin, there's no guile found in his mouth. Isaiah 53 and 9, it says, he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. You can go through Old Testament, you can go through New Testament, you will not find one reference, one place where Christ sinned. You think of the life of Christ upon this earth, particularly those years of ministry. There were very few who were closer to Christ than the Apostle John. He, of course, was in the inner circle. He was the one who described himself as leaning in the breast of Christ. He was that close. He was that sweet a fellowship. He was that near to the Lord. He saw the Lord in the very most intimate of times, even within the Garden of Gethsemane, within the house of Jairus. John was there. He would say in of his closeness in 1 John 1 and the verse 1, he says, we have heard, we have seen with our eyes, we have looked upon. The two Greek words here that are used for seen and for looked upon, they simply are oreo and theorio. It means to study. It means to stare at intently, not just simply to glance, not just simply to have it in your peripheral vision. John studied Christ. John watched him intently. John looked with those eyes, those piercing eyes as it were, to see everything he possibly could of Christ. John followed him. John watched him. John listened to him. And yet John even goes on to say, our hands have handled. In other words, he has been right there. And yet in John 1 and verse 14, he describes Christ as full of grace and truth. In 1 John 3 and the verse 5, John writes and he says, in him is no sin. Christ was pure. I remember the disciples, as much as they were fishermen, it was the practice that children were brought up, young boys especially, were brought up in the Old Testament scriptures. They knew the Torah. They knew the Pentateuch. They knew the prophecies. They knew the poetry. They knew the scriptures. So John would have known. John was skilled in it. John knew the universality of sin. John understood that. John knew that all mankind was sinful in nature and in practice. John would have known the psalmist saying that they are altogether become filthy, Psalm 14 and 3. He would have known Psalm 53 in the verse 1, there is none that doeth good. He would have known Ecclesiastes 7 and 20, there's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. John would have known these scriptures. And yet when he looked upon Christ and he studied Christ, he listened to Christ. He came to the wonderful conclusion, in him is no sin. Christ is perfect. Every aspect of his person, his life, his ministry, it's nothing but beauty. There's not one flaw. There's not one blemish. John Flavel, in his writings, he says his excellencies are pure and unmixed. He is a sea of sweetness without one drop of gall. There is nothing in Christ that is negative. Nothing. That's why it was worth the bride suffering and enduring the hardship and the pain of those trials. That's why even though they had smote her, they had wounded her, even though they had taken her veil from her, yet she says it's still worth it. I'm not just simply turning my back. I'm not simply quitting and going home. I am searching, and I am searching until I find him. That's why it's worth everything, child of God, in your life. To know the excellency and the perfection of Christ Jesus. That's why Paul, writing to the church in Philippi in Philippians 3 and 8, he says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. He says, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Everything Paul suffered in life, he was willing to do it. Why? To know Christ. To see Christ. And to have Christ. All of the suffering, everything he lost, he says, I count it all but dung for Christ. This bride was willing to give up everything to be with Christ. The perfection of his beauty. But then secondly and finally, I want you to see the verse 11 to 16. I want you to see the praise of his beauty. The praise of his beauty. She begins at verse 11, his head is of fine gold, his locks bushy, as black as ravens. She'll go on to speak of his eyes, his cheeks, his hands, his belly, his legs, his countenance, his mouth. She speaks of every part of his body. And each and every part that she considers, it brings nothing but praise to her lips. She starts at the very head, and she, as it were, she just works her way down. The head's there, the eyes are mentioned. She works her way down, there's the cheeks, down there's the hands, the legs. She covers it all. There's not one fault. There's not one complaint. Everything is praise. My friend, the longer you spend in the Christian life, the more that you come to know and understand of God, I guarantee you, regardless if you've been walking with the Lord for 60, 70 years, I guarantee you'll never find one problem or one thing that you can't praise the Lord for. When you look upon Christ, it brings nothing but praise. You know, whenever you apply these verses, she's speaking of her bridegroom, but you apply them to Christ. It paints a wonderful picture of who Christ is. I'll run through them very quickly for time. The head of gold. speaks of his majesty, speaks of his kingship. Our Savior is the sole head and king of the church. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And whenever you look at the head, there's the gold, there's the finery of the majesty of Christ. And there's it upon the head. Why? He is king. The hair is as black as a raven. Speaks of the infinite strength and power of God. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The Lord's our strength and our shield. And of course you apply that and you think of the life of Samson. How was Samson known for his strength? When he had the hair upon his head, he had the strength. And you apply that even to Christ, the picture there that is before us. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. There is the strength of God. The eyes is dove's eyes. Speaks to us of the compassion of God. You think of Mark 10 and the verse 21. Whenever Christ is speaking with the rich young ruler, it tells us in that verse that Jesus, beholding him, loved him. When Jesus looked and he saw the multitude as sheep having no shepherd, it tells us he was moved with compassion. How many times it was, even as the Lord drew near to the city of Jerusalem and he beheld the city, that he wept. Why? Because his eyes, the compassion of the Lord, he saw the people. His eyes are as the eyes of the doves. By the rivers of waters washed with milk, fitly set. And it says his cheeks are as a bed of spices. The cheeks and the lips are speaking particularly of the sufferings of Christ. Isaiah 50 in the verse 6, it says, I give my back to the smiters, my cheeks to them that plucked off my hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Of course, his lips, he stood before his shearers dumb. So he opened not his mouth. The hands are as gold rings set with beryl. Speaks of the provision of Christ. The provision of a world and creation. Isaiah 45 in the verse 12 says, even my hands have stretched out the heavens. The provision of redemption, for the hands of Christ were stretched out upon the cross. The nails driven through left and through right. And he hung there as he's pierced upon the cross. Why? For our salvation. The belly. His belly is bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. Speaks here of the glory of Christ. The brightness of the glory, that which shone forth in the Mount of Transfiguration, that which shone forth in the road to Damascus as Saul was met, and that light which was brighter than the midday sun, the light of God's glory shining. Any wonder Moses said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And then we come to the legs. The legs are as pillars of marble, set upon sockets of fine gold. It speaks of the unchanging, the immutability of Christ. He is unchanging and unchangeable. Those wonderful metaphors that are used here, marble, Lebanon, cedars, gold, they're all speaking of longevity. They're all speaking of those things which last forever. Christ. Christ is unchanging. You think too of legs. What do? Legs carry your weight. They carry your load. Christ carried the load of our sin and our guilt. Christ still encourages his people, cast all of your care upon him. Why? He careth for you. He is the great burden bearer. He is the one who says, cast it upon me. I'll carry it. I'll sustain you. Why? Because his legs, the immutability of Christ, he never changes. The mouth. His mouth is most sweet. Mouth speaks of the grace of God. the sweetness of fellowship and communion, of hearing that still small voice within our hearts, words of love, words of encouragement to his children, words of guidance, words of instruction, words of compassion and tenderness, words of love. Oh, the hymn says that there's no voice like the voice of Jesus. Tender, sweet its chime. Why can't you see why she's up? Why she's out searching for him? Can't you see why she begins with those words, "He's the chiefest among 10,000? Can't you see why she ends with the words, "He's altogether lovely. This is my beloved. This is my friend. He's perfect." He meant everything to her. Let me ask the question as we close. What does Christ mean to you? Do you know him personally today? Have you experienced his love and his grace personally in your life? Can you say today, "I love him"? Why? Because he first loved me. He gave himself for me. Oh, our God, our Savior, is great. Greatly to be praised. Not just with our lips, but with all of our heart. What a Savior. What a friend. What a beloved. She would not go home. She was sick of love. Tell me, do you love Christ today? Do you love him with all of your heart? Does he mean everything to you? If he doesn't, why does he not? Where's your heart today? Christ must have the preeminence. Not just in church services. Christ must have the preeminence in your life. Does he mean everything to you? "I shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart." This bride, yes, she wasn't perfect. We've seen that. She withdrew and went when she should have stayed. But what a testimony here. She is up. She is out. And she is longing for Christ to be with her once again. "This is my beloved. This is my friend." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Father, in heaven we bow before thee. We thank thee for our Savior. We can say he is altogether lovely. He's the chiefest among 10,000. Oh, Father, we thank thee for salvation. We thank thee for the love of God. We thank thee for that which Christ has done for us and continues to do. Oh, Father, may we ever be with him. May we ever strive to be in his presence. Lord, so often we can grow cold. So often we can wander. Oh, God, keep us near the cross. Separate us now with thy blessing upon us. Take us to our homes in safety. Watch over us and bring us again tonight. Bring others with us. And bless us in this time together. In Jesus' name. Amen.